Good evening, everybody. It is Friday the 24th of May, and you're listening to the Bookcast, episode 263.
You're listening to a feed of the Association of Music Podcasting at musicpodcasting.org.
Great White Buffalo with Likely Story. From Los Angeles in California, it's often felt as if sincerity and personal conviction would run out of rock and roll in exchange for a tepid and demure approach to songwriting, analogous to the music industry's apprehension of change. Great White Buffalo, however, appear and sound determined to reintroduce and inject the emotional intelligence back into the veins of rock music, starting with an indie sensibility. The band has been garnering attention, and for good reason.
It looks like Game Ring, doesn't it?
It does, doesn't it?
Yes.
Their recent self-titled debut release, which they recorded with Grammy Award-winning producer Philip Allen, who's worked with Adele and Aerosmith, kicks up reminders of big sounds, challenging metaphors, and hooks that will make you and yours randy. There you go. Source from Jamendo, and you can find out more by checking out their rather ingenious URL.
I like this.
www.gwb.la.
So they're GWB from
LA. Fantastic.
It would make it even better if they took out the www, which is totally unnecessary in this day and age.
May I ask why you don't have a location for your next song?
Because I couldn't find one. I would also like to ask why I've just been signed out of all my Google services at the same time.
Ooh.
Because that happened earlier on as well. Oh, well. Anyway, so yes, welcome. This is the Bugcast, episode 263. On tonight's show, we have some cracking music for you, as always. We've also got a couple of things to talk about. We're going to be doing a review of... Okay, let's look at the show for not 3 weeks ago. We're going to be doing a review of Saturday's Eurovision. I don't know whether Caroline wants to talk about Doctor Who at all.
Yeah.
We'll add that in as number two then. So three, four.
What have you got there? What have you got there? What have you got? What
so
got?
We'll put that in. Put it there. There we go.
Oh, definitely that one, yeah.
We're also going to be talking about one of the more controversial news stories from the last week. And I have something to tell you about a part of this show that many people don't even know about.
And something else.
And that as well.
We'll My goodness me, you nearly
We'll
forgot.
Do that there. So put yours in, because you were going to put something else in, weren't you? Anyway, so we're going to crack on with a bit more music. This is my first song of the evening. This is The Crawls with a track called It Didn't Matter. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Yannick of the French podcast Euterpia Radio, and you're listening to the Backcast with Dave and Caroline.
Was Flat People with O Conspiracy, not O Conspiracy with Flat People, because I put them the wrong way around in the show notes.
Yes.
They were from, or they are from Dallas in Texas. Their album, which is also called Flat People, was produced by Salim Nurala. It's honest, edgy, and a true reflection of the influence musicians have had on guitar over the years. Guitar is one of the members of the band, I believe. Currently number two in the most popular songs in Jamendo. And I thought it was quite Beatles-esque.
Oh, definitely.
And you can find out more by checking out myspace.com/flatpeoplemusic.
And before that, you heard The Crawls with a track called It Didn't Matter. And if I'm honest, that's all I can tell you. I don't know where they're from. They haven't got a website that I could find. So there is a link on the show notes to their Jamendo profile where they have, I think, three songs in total.
How do I have to say searching Google for The Crawls didn't come up with...
Oh, you had a pop as well.
Mm.
Yeah. Now, The Crawls, excuse me, was recommended to us by Kevy, who is both in the chat room, but he also on Identica, which is where he made the recommendation to us. But so, excuse me, thank you very much indeed, Kevy, for letting us know about The Crawls. And that was the track that that I chose. So there you go.
What was that called? It doesn't matter.
It didn't matter. No, I tried searching for the name and the name.
Yeah, because the one that I just found from New Zealand, but that doesn't sound like the same band because it hasn't got that song in it.
Oh, okay. sorry, do excuse me.
He's choking on it, as it were.
As it were, yes. So professional we are. It's funny, actually, because there was a discussion going on Google Plus in the podcasters community about editing out coughs and quiet bits and repetitive stuff. But
I think it makes it unique.
We certainly are that. We certainly are. Anyway, so last Saturday was the Eurovision Song Contest, the 50-somethingth Eurovision Song Contest.
And England won, not.
Well, we didn't come last, though, or second from last. We were 19th out of 26, which for us is pretty flipping good.
I think, to be honest, for the song, that was very good.
Oh, absolutely.
I don't think it was our strongest entry at all.
No. We've had stronger entries than that. Yes, we have. That have scored worse.
Problem is, it was done by a legend who did a stellar job. I do think, given the fact that she wasn't first on the billing, meant that she'd had a bit to drink by the time she went on stage.
It wasn't a strong performance, bearing in mind the calibre of her history.
Given the fact that she'd had an interview not long since beforehand and said, I love being here in Denmark.
You're in Sweden, love.
Yeah.
Yes. We are talking about Bonnie Tyler, of course. A British legend in the music business. I mean, if you look at our recent history, we seem to be picking music legends from this country to represent us, and it's not really going anywhere. So hopefully the powers that be will take that as a hint and maybe pick someone else to do it next time.
Yes. Kevi has explained that the Crawls are from Russia.
Ah, okay. Do we know where in Russia?
No, it just says Russia.
I have put that in the show notes. It will appear on them, kind of thing. But as I mentioned last week, one thing that we do is we go through and, Caroline wasn't able to for a while because I think you were cooking dinner, weren't you?
Oh, yes, I did the...
So, yeah, we go through and listen and we rate each of the songs that we listen to.
And I always got told off for the Blackbone song, which obviously did have swearing in it, but one of the songs on Eurovision, I still think that they were swearing.
It didn't have swear words.
It was a weddingy one, and it said for you at the beginning, then it sounded like F-U, and then went back to for you.
I'm sure you said
that. And
this
I was
last
not
week.
The only person to have said it, because I saw several people mention it as well, so it wasn't just me that heard
Yes. Noughties
where there wasn't noughties.
Yes. But usually what happens when we go through and do these reviews and then tally them up at the end of the performances to work out who we think is going to win, usually they're the ones that tend to lose. But this year we did quite well, didn't we? the ones that kept...
Yeah. And to be honest, I think the one that won was quite all right.
The...
Teardrop something or other.
Norway.
Norway.
Norway won. What's happening with my voice at the moment? Norway won. Azerbaijan came second, which was, I think, my favourite, or one of my favourites from the entire competition. So it's good
to
see.
The one with the bloke in the box.
Yes, the shadow box, which was very good performance. But it was a good one to watch. There were some fairly strong contenders. Unfortunately, the UK wasn't one of them.
To be honest, we haven't been for a while.
Well, yeah, basically.
And I still question whether we should be one of these that spend so much on it rather than just...
I'm of the opinion...
Trying to go for it and see how it goes.
I'm of the opinion that we should still continue to invest money in it because I think it's a worthwhile
Actually,
thing.
Actually, it was covered on The Right Show and someone made a very good point. They do spend a lot of money on it,
mm-hmm.
but for that money, they get a chunk of primetime TV schedule filled and they have guaranteed viewership because it's such a big thing.
Well, that's true.
So actually they gain quite a bit of it. Because if you think about how many millions of viewers it is worldwide.
Oh, absolutely.
Then in a way it's good to be part of it, but hey-ho.
Yeah, yeah, no, you're absolutely right. But then my voice is going to disappear by the end of this show, I'm sure it is. I'm going to shut up for a minute because Caroline's going to talk about the Doctor Who finale.
Yes. So anybody that hasn't watched the Doctor Who finale right now and you're listening to this, then I'm going to go, woo, woo, spoilers alert, right? So, and just to correct, the claws are actually Ukrainian, not Russian.
Big difference.
Yes. Yes. So, Doctor Who finale was on last Saturday. The title of the show was called Name of the Doctor. There were loads of speculation as to what his name would be. And we didn't find out. But to be honest with you, did anybody really honestly expect to find out?
It was said.
Yes, but we didn't find it out.
No.
And I still think that the show's title was nothing to do with his name.
Oh, no, it wasn't. But it was incredibly clever.
It was to do with a bit near the end where he accused another character not in the name of the Doctor.
Yes.
So basically, it was a pretty decent show. It kind of explained Clara. Basically, the reason she'd appeared in so many different things is because of what happened in the finale show. She goes into the Doctor's timeline to try and help save him.
To fix the things that
the Great Intelligent were doing.
Yes.
Yeah. Which is why that happened. So in a full circle thing, the Doctor then goes back into his own timeline himself to try and then save Clara, which is quite interesting.
Mm.
There was a nice bit of interaction with the Doctor and River Song because that's the first time that he's really showed emotion that way.
Yes.
And that was a really nice touch. It was lovely to see Vastra, Jenny and Strax because those three characters are quite good. I reckon they should have their own sideshow because that would be quite fun.
I think if they try to split out and spin off into their own series or their own set of episodes, that would kind of destroy their appeal.
Oh, I don't know. I think there's enough following of them.
Not convinced.
But yes. And then there was the big reveal, which was basically John Hurt near the end, who was the one that was not in the name of the Doctor. So now there's loads of speculation as to whether he's 8.5, an incarnation between Paul McGann, the movie Doctor, and Christopher Eccleston, whether he's the Veil Yard, but that's more because the Veil Yard was mentioned, whether he's the original Doctor, don't know, or whether he's the future Doctor.
Yeah, but as I've said before, the Doctor is always the Doctor.
Yes.
It's just the embodiment and personality that changes.
But the Veil Yard is supposed to be an amalgamation of all the different personalities in a single body. As in, he doesn't...
That'd get cramped.
Yes. But yeah, it's going to be interesting. But basically, as finales go, it was pretty strong, but it wasn't actually really a finale. What it was really was a prequel to the 50th anniversary show.
Mm.
Is my overall gut feel. It posed as many questions as it answered. But Stephen Moffat keeps saying it's going to change Doctor Who forever, which kind of makes me think more than he'll be 8.5 because that then will shift everybody up one. So Eccleston would be 10, Tennant would be 11, Matt Smith would be 12, effectively being the last Doctor. But then again, this is science fiction and a TV show that's very popular. So even if they got to the 13th regeneration, there'll be some sort of timey-wimey, spacey-wacey big reset button that'll suddenly give them more
opportunities. I think that if that was to happen, they would lose a fair element of credibility because the whole basis of the Doctor is that he only has 12 regenerations, which means there can only be 13 Doctors. Assuming, of course, that the first Doctor didn't come about as part of a regeneration.
Yep. A fair few people in the chat room think he's the real ninth, which was what I'd said is 8.5, which is kind of the same thing.
Mm.
Fizzleweb second, they should have called John Hurt the Doctor. and Insia says he wants Dolly Parton for Doctor Who, which would be interesting. And Sander says, please shut up about Doctor Who, which is all the more reason to talk about Doctor Who a bit longer.
Yeah, that works for me. Although Ian has corrected us back on the Eurovision question. It was actually Denmark that did win. Norway came third.
Right.
So we were kind of right the first time, but then corrected ourselves.
Yeah.
And stuff. Anyway. Should we just do a very quick hello to the guys in the chat room before we move on? Because we have kind of waffled for a bit.
Oh, who's in the chat room? Yes.
So in the chat room tonight.
Amsterdam Mac, Chalcahom, Expat Paul, Ghost Dancer, Ian2773, Incius, K5 Tux, Kevy, Laney Droid, MMNO, Moggers87, Musical, Paranoia, Naya, Popey, P Squid, Sandersh, Lovebug, Feru, Thistleweb, and Expat Paul.
Who moved himself down to the bottom of the list for some reason.
Who did?
Expat Paul.
Oh, who was Expat Paul?
Does that mean you read him out twice?
No. Thistleweb says, or Doctor Who steps out of the shower, so none of the 12. Yes. Doctor Who and Dallas crossover would be quite interesting.
Oh, you know what that means, don't you?
John Hurt would be J.R. Ewing.
No. The 13th Doctor. Patrick Duffy. Oh, no, actually. No, he's dead. Did he die?
Now, Lainey's saying it's been reported by the BBC that John Hurt is the real 9th. But I don't know if it has.
Well,
because
have a
John
look.
Hurt, John Hurt was...
Meh.
Yes,
have
I will
a look during
I will
the next
look
pair
the
of songs. This is Anatech with a track called Apnea.
We'll be right back. hello there. Good blimey, Mrs. Limmy Lummy Limey. Go to the foot of our stairs. This is the fake Dick Turpin. And I'd like to say I listen to the Bugcast. Go on, Dave. Play us another track, mate. Go on. Go on, mate.
Money fast, only got time for dough and no laughs. All the boys swoon, they want more. Little do they know she's a certified whore. No time for love, no time for wine. Give me a cigarette, I'll eat that night. Can't stick around for too long. Cops on my trail, gotta hurry home. No time for love, no time for wine. Give me a cigarette, I'll eat that night. Can't stick around for too long. Cops trail, gotta hurry home. Cops on my trail, gotta hurry home. Get her in bed, you best not fall asleep. You might wake up with pockets not so deep. She's on the run and you'll never find why this woman's love's on your mind. No time for love, no time for wine. Give me a cigarette, now eat that night. Can't stick around for too long.
Cassie Key and the Rain Dogs with Tramp. From Austin in Texas, they say about themselves, if David Lynch made a film with Tom Waits, Snoop Dogg and a 58 Lincoln Premiere, Cassie Key and the Rain Dogs would be the soundtrack. Rain Dog is Cagle and Rob Huntley, who became friends in 2011 while playing in a Tom Waits tribute band. And although the tribute band didn't work out, the three would later to go on to form the Rain Dogs, and Cassie Key joined them in July 2012. Now, I played their song Sleight of Hands a few weeks ago, and I've played this one again, and you can find out more by checking out raindogs.com, and that's with two G's.
Awesome. I would love to see a David Lynch film of that ilk.
Yes.
That'd be quite freaky. Anyway, before that, you heard a cracking piece of trip-hop by Anatech. The track was called Apnea. Now, we played Anatech a couple of weeks ago, and he's a very talented producer from New Jersey, Morristown in New Jersey. I personally, I really like that. That was really my kind of thing. But I'm kind of picking up from the chat room that didn't go down too well with everybody else.
Oh.
So.
Hang on. Oh, which one? Yours or?
Mine.
I was going to say. Mine.
Oh, no, yours was very well received. But anyway, yeah, if you want to find out more about Anatech, has a YouTube channel, youtube.com/Anatech Music.
Yes.
So then, the big news of the last week, certainly here in the UK, has been the vicious murder in Woolwich of a soldier.
Yes. But the bit we're going to talk about was the social media fallout afterwards.
Mm.
I did a post on Facebook about this because I'll try and find it. Because this was like the day after. And it made me think, and it's like, the act made me worried about the future that my kids are going to have, what they're going to grow up with. But it wasn't the act of the two perpetrators that upset me the most or worried me the most. It was the reaction to people who I always thought were very normal and rational people who, as a result of it, jumped on a bandwagon, and there were posts such as, make all Muslims leave the country, they're all bad as each other. Send him back from where he came from, despite the fact that he was born in Britain.
Yeah.
Let's get a group together, find some Muslims and kill them in retaliation. I mean, these are from people who I thought were pretty sane human
beings.
Level-headed
people, yeah.
And that's what worried me, because it ended up in mob culture.
Hmm.
As a result of what happened, you had the English Defence League having a group of people going down to the place in order to make a stand. And what did they do? Threw things at the police, who were trying to resolve trying to investigate what happened.
The actual crime itself, yes.
So how on earth is that supposed to resolve the situation? There have been mosques that have been defaced. There have been people the sad thing is people will get attacked because of this, purely by the basis of what they look like, despite the fact that there is no hard and fast rules that say all Muslims look this way. There are white people who convert to Islam.
Yeah.
So they're going to target the wrong people. And at the end of the day, the people that get hurt will be the peace-loving people that just live their life, have their faith and live a...
We saw evidence of that at the Boston bombing.
Oh, yeah.
Where the media and people jumped on the idea that, you know, it was definitely this person that caused the bombing. It turned out not to be. And somebody got attacked as a result of it.
Because the day after as well, one of the people on my friends list who was the most...
Vehement
about the things, posted something saying, police are trying to disperse 100 Muslims celebrating in the street in Victoria Street, Oldham, London. And I looked online, I couldn't find any mention of this. I trolled Twitter. And the only mention I could find was on a website called innergist.com, which is basically, it's like a trawling site. It trawls social media based on keywords and then does a whole list of them. So if someone searched for Oldham, some of them were at Oldham Football Club and whatnot. And there was an article saying 100 Muslims celebrating in the street at Granada report that. That was an individual using ITV News' @ to then get them to report it, but people are taking it as a report from ITV them. News. And then it got spread by EDL. And then people started to say, well, hang on a minute, there isn't an Oldham in London. And then somebody said, oh no, it's Oldham in Greater Manchester. So Greater Manchester Police confirmed that there was no such thing. Because they mentioned Victoria Street, there was a Victoria Street in three, I think, two different places in Oldham. And they said, look, we've been to both, there is none of this happening. But people still forwarded it.
Hmm.
Then they turned on the person that had sent it, saying, oh, how could you stir this up? But they made the stirring, and then people perpetrated it by stirring it around and saying, oh, but I checked online, and it's definitely been reported. I said, no, you checked online, saw a status message from an idiot who so happened to copy in a news channel, and that's what could cause trouble. You could end up with another group of people going to that place, expecting to see these people, not seeing this whole group of people celebrating, but seeing someone, oh, they look like the type of person, and then attacking them. It's just violence for violence's sake. And one of the people said how all Muslims are the same because it says in the Quran about, you know, the jihad and things. Well, let's face it, in the Bible there are lots of passages that if everyone followed that, there are nasty things that people could do in the name of God, as it were. So it works multiple ways. And it's just such a shame that the two people that did it ranted to the camera that they wanted to cause a war in London. And in a way, they kind of got what they wanted because they turned rational human beings into anger-filled people who would quite happily don a balaclava, go somewhere, and then attack the people that are trying to resolve the issue.
Yeah.
So in a way, they got what they wanted.
Mm.
And that was the other thing. All these English Defence League people that went down there in order to make a point. Why did so many of them wear balaclavas if they were truly passionate about what they were believing in? Why hide their faces? How many of them were just there because it looked like it'd be a good laugh and a bit of fun?
Look at the London riots.
And how many of them that are in balaclavas are actually in positions of power? There's probably some policemen in there. There were probably some teachers.
Look at the London riots.
Exactly.
I say it's not the same, but it's the same. It's the same motivation.
Yeah. Thistleweb said, wouldn't be surprised to see a new law including blame on those on social media who deliberately inflame when an act goes bad. And in all honesty, that would be a law that I would support.
It's incitement.
Yes.
Surely it's incitement.
But I would say a lot
which
of
I thought
the,
was already illegal.
A lot of the posts I saw on Facebook and other social media sites were racial hatred.
Mm.
One person said it wasn't anything to do with race, it's to do with religion. But they mentioned how somebody looked. That is about race. They're not going to look at the send him home from where he comes back, back from where he came from because he had black skin, backfired because he was born and bred in Britain. He was in Britain until it was only till 2003 that he transferred to Islam and then became more radicalised.
Yeah.
So it isn't a case of he's come to this country from somewhere else and done it. He was born and bred here.
Sandish makes a good point. The people that did this were not Muslims.
No.
Islam does not allow murder. People are abusing religion to justify it.
Exactly.
Which I totally agree with.
See, they would use a passage of the Quran about jihad, about killing those who don't believe in what they believe in. Yeah. There's another passage in the Quran that says, I can't remember what it said. It's something about if you murder them, hold on. Hold on.
Just been having a look on the Religion of Peace website, which is the...
If anyone slays a human being, it shall be as though he killed all mankind. Whereas if anyone saves a life, it shall be as though he saved the whole of mankind.
Hmm.
So in that passage, it's saying, if you kill somebody else, you've killed everybody. So you can use passages, no matter what the book is, to your own means. And that's what the radicals are doing. They're taking something and they're twisting it, as it were, in order to justify what they're doing.
Yeah.
But people have done that in the name of Christianity as well. So it's just, I don't know, but I'll let Dave say what he was going to say.
No, it's just they're having a look at the Religion of Peace website, which I'm actually now, I mean, it's been mentioned a couple of times as an indication that, you know, what people think about Islam is not what Islam is about. Islam is a religion about peace. But I'm now looking at this website and wondering whether it is actually a genuine website or not.
I actually looked at a website that compared Christianity and Islam based on the idea of this is the age that it dates back to. This is the books that they show. These are the Ten Commandments versus the Five Pillars, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And what the core beliefs are, and the one for Islam was peace. This reminds me of, I don't know if everyone's seen it, there's a film called Four Lions, and it's semi-satirical, I would say. And it's basically about four Muslims who decide that they want to blow up some people. So it's a serious subject, but it's done slightly tongue-in-cheek.
Mm.
And you've actually got a fifth one, which is actually a white guy who's transferred to Islam, who's probably the nuttiest of them all. But they're a bit inept. They're a bit bungling. It's got the bloke out of Phone Jacker in and Face Jacker on it. And basically, the plot goes wrong. One blows himself up in a field with sheep. One blows himself up by mistake in a thing, one gets attacked, one gives himself up, that kind of thing. And the irony bit was that they did that under the nose of the police, because apart from the fact that they'd been plotting and planning this, because it was supposed to be based in London but it was filmed in Sheffield, it was the brother of one of them who had the full focus of the law on them because he led a peaceful Muslim life.
Yeah.
But he was the one that they focused on because he was more outwardly Muslim.
He was more Muslim.
Whereas the other one, he'd integrated in society. He was a security guard somewhere and he talked with a Cockney accent and he joked about and had a beer now and then. So he was more socially accepted.
Normal. Yes.
Yes. But it was the brother that got targeted. He went under the radar. But it was done in a satirical way. It's a very good film. It's one of those films that you laugh at and then you think, actually, it's not a funny ha-ha. It's an uncomfortable laughter about it.
Anyway, let's move on from this. And have another piece of music. This is Leo Bowers with a track called Bittersweet.
you'll do when the heat starts pouring down on you.
You are listening to, now wait for it, it's not in fact Dave and Caroline from the Meteorological Department, neither is it Dave and Caroline from the Archaeological Department. This is in fact Dave and Caroline who run the podcast. Now back to you guys.
Too much wine for Thursday night. It's only 6 o'clock. Too early to be kissing outside. It's hard to fight it though. Oh, when your eyes are that blue. And I don't care if all New England knows that I want you, 'cause I do. Bit of a breeze, but it's the brightest April day. Southbound tracks, we're pulling away. I bet they'd all agree. I'm sitting way too close to you, but I don't care if these strangers see that I want you, 'cause I do.
That I want.
I don't wanna lose you, darling. I don't wanna let you go. I don't wanna say goodbye. I want you, you know.
And that was Tamara Laurel with I Want You from Santa Monica in California. It's actually quite funny. I didn't mean to do this, but this week I played two tracks from California, one from Santa Monica, one from Los Angeles, and two from Texas, one from Dallas, one from Austin, which wasn't aimed that way.
No.
But anyway, she's an American indie folk singer-songwriter, guitarist, and producer. Now, this is her debut single, and her debut EP is slated for release in summer 2013. And actually, what was quite funny is, because she's so new, her profile on Jamenda wasn't quite complete, so she didn't actually have an artist URL, so I actually did a bit of digging. And she has a very nice website, actually, tamaralaurel.com. And it had a blog, because her bio just listed the different things she were, like singer, songwriter, folk, that kind of thing. So I checked the blog out, and her most recent post was a video blog. And it was basically footage from the last few months of rehearsal, solo performances, and a preview of a new song called Sweet that is going to be in her new EP. But what the funny bit was, is she had like a song to the, like a bedding track almost to her video. And it was to one of her favourite songs called Teeth by Great White Buffalo, who we played in the opening.
Mm.
But because Los Angeles, Santa Monica, both California, they've probably obviously crossed path.
Right.
But that was an unintentional link between two artists that seemed randomly separate. But there you go. That's it.
Oh, right. And before that, you heard Leo Bauer with his track Bittersweet. Now, Leo is a recording artist and producer from Columbus in Ohio. And the tagline on his website says, "Music is what feelings sound like." Yeah, that works. If you want to find out more about Leo, his website is leobowers.com. I said Leo Bauer, didn't I?
But like I said to you, the title of that track was actually very relevant, given it came after the pretty heavy-hitting conversation we had about social media after the Woolwich incident.
Yes, which did go on a little bit, for which we apologise.
It was all good stuff.
Yes, it certainly is. Okay, now then, we had a rather large parcel arrive at Budcast Towers from the Germany.
Which I got to sign for and open.
Yes, what was in it?
But I let you open the other box inside. Yes. So inside it was an envelope, inside which was a letter saying congratulations.
And from Olympus.
From Olympus, yes. Sponsors of the European Podcast Award.
Mm-hmm.
There was also a blue box which housed the Olympus DM3.
Oh, well done.
Digital recorder, which I've not had a chance to play with yet because Dave took it and
it's
played with it.
On the couch in there.
Which is very nice, but Dave's played with it more than me.
Careful.
And even more important was a very heavy box, quite a long box, which was white. Then you took that out and there's a black box.
Can I say the next bit?
Yes.
Containing a stuffing great hunk of glass.
Yes. So it was our European Podcast Award trophy, effectively. Very heavy.
What a trophy.
Very nice.
Gorgeous.
Beautiful. and like I said to Dave, you wouldn't want to drop it outside on the path because you might break the path.
Yeah.
So, yes, it's a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful trophy. So, yes.
So it arrived two months and 2 days after the award was announced, which I have been told is pretty typical, which is absolutely fine. But it's nice to see it. It's nice to have it on display. I'm not sure whether that's going to be its permanent location or not, or whether we should move into here.
I think we'd have to move into here, but I think this room needs decluttering first.
Yes, I'm wondering if we should make maybe this corner a bit more fit for purpose so that we'd have a space for
the trophy
and stuff. But it's like that's its home. We don't have to move it to do stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Don't know. Anyway. and I wanted to quickly just mention, off the back of a conversation I had earlier in the week with a couple of our regular live listeners, is for those of you who listen purely to the podcast and don't join us in the live chat room each week, there is another part of the show that you do not know about. and that is the after show party. And what happens is, I know with a lot of other shows that broadcast live, excuse me, once the show's finished, they switch the stream off and everybody goes home. We don't. We open the stream up and we invite anybody who's listening live to come and join us and chat with us with their voices, which is, you know, quite a shocking thing, on our Mumble server. And conversations basically start from the moment we finish recording this, which will be in approximately 10 minutes time, until, I don't know, 2-3 o'clock in the morning.
Yes. Usually
without you.
Absent because...
You're a lightweight.
I'm a lightweight, and I'm also a mum who spends 5 days a week doing the night feeds, and I get 2 days a week, sometimes more if we're lucky.
You'll be getting 4 days this week from me. You've already had one.
I know, but I'm just saying.
Well, you kind of had one. You had to come down last night because
I heard a strange screaming noise, and
it wasn't coming from me, I hasten to add.
Alex exploded.
Yes. But yeah, the after show party, I've heard feedback from people saying that it is a very good part of the show that actually doesn't happen as part of the show. So if you want to know what that is all about, please do come and join us live. Thebugcast.org/live is the website to go to listen to us live. And we start the stream at about between 8 and 8.30 UK time in the evening on a Friday night. And we basically keep it open until the last person falls asleep, which is usually somewhere in the region of 6+ hours later. So please do come and join us, even if you just pop in and out as and when you can. As long as we're not actually recording the show at the time, then you're very welcome to come in and chat to us. So give it some thought. You'd be very welcome. More information on the website, thebugcast.org/live. So next week, the Bugcast episode 264 will be broadcast live in the Bugcast chat room at thebugcast.org/live on Friday the 31st of May at 9:30 p.m. UK time. Please do come and join us. If you want to get in contact, drop us an email. feedback@thebugcast.org is our email address. And you can also head along to our website at thebugcast.org, where you'll find more information about how to get in contact with us using social media, amongst other things. And you'll also find the show notes for this show at thebugcast.org/show/263, where you'll find links to the artists that we've played, the sources from where we've obtained their music from, and also any relevant links for the conversation points that we've had during the course of this show. It is last track time. And this is a track from a group called Retropolis, I think is how you pronounce it. Now, this is another band that was recommended to us by Kevy. And like the last one that we played that was recommended to us by Kevy, there's absolutely stuff all information about them on Tinterwebs. however, they do have a Jamendo profile, which will be in the links in the show notes. And I think they have 10 tracks on there at the moment. And the track that we'll be playing is certainly the most played, and I presume as a result the most popular of all the tracks that are currently available on Jamendo. So with that in mind, we shall leave you with Retropolis and their track Reincarnation. And we'll catch you next week.
Bye.
See ya.
got me on my knees, so keep on running, Lord, I'm coming home to you. If it keeps on running, then it's gonna break. Let's move before the rain's gonna rain. And no one out there sees me run the bike. We'll be right back.
podcast. Submits its Creative Commons tracks to cchits.net, the site where you make the charts. If you have enjoyed these tracks, please vote for them, using the links in the show notes. Or if you want to get even more involved, visit cchits.net.